Boy. Taste and see that the Lord is good. My goodness, this title is called Consumed today. And man, when I was putting this message together, this happened yesterday. I started to get hungry, and I had a hunkering for pizza. So I went to Horst, and they didn't have pizza left. They were putting their stuff away, and I got a sub, and I came back to the house, and I kept on kind of running into these roadblocks when I was putting this message together. And I would get up, and I would move around, and I would go outside, and I'd come back, and I'd sit down, and I'd start again, and I'd come back and sit down, start again. And some messages are harder than others for some reason. I think some of it's the enemy coming against the message. The enemy doesn't want the message to come forth. He doesn't want your ears to be open. He doesn't want your heart to be open. He doesn't want your eyes to be open to the message. So he'll fight it. But I kept on pushing through. I came back from Horst, and I heard the Lord say, go get your devotional and flip it open. God does these flip open this book thing to me all the time. And then he speaks to me in that thing. So the devotional book's sitting there. I flip it open. Pauline, what was the day that you died right there? Okay, so October 24th. This devotional that I flipped to is October 23rd. If you flip the page, today's the 24th. And this is what the Lord said to me through this devotional. This is what he said, and listen to me, I want you to hang on every word because I am convinced 100% this comes from the mouth of God, and this is for every single one of you that sit here today. I don't care how old you are or how young you are, this is a word for you. It is not just for me. This word broke me, and it broke me, and it broke me, and this is what it says. I love you. The title is, I'm so happy that you're mine. Can you sit here today and soak that in and take that in? That if Jesus came in here and went up to every one of you and he said this, I'm so happy that you're mine. 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 Can you receive that? I'm so happy that you're mine. Can you receive that today? Don't let anything within you come against that thought that Jesus would walk into this house and take every one of your hands and say, I'm so happy that you're mine. I'm so happy that I created you. I'm so happy that I saw you here in this seat 500 years ago. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you're here today. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you're mine. I love you. Can you take that in today? I know some of us, it feels like sometimes we're hard to love. Like, it just feels like we get to this point and it's like, how does he love me like that? I don't get it. I don't understand how God can love me like that. But can I tell you, these three words are for you today. I love you. You heard it from Jeff today. He loves you. Listen to this. He says, I want you to soak in the revelation of my love today and every day. I want you to know that the way you love me moves my heart. Listen, there's one thing to say, the way God loves me moves my heart, but you know God says the way you love him moves his heart? You say it's too good to be true. Welcome to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Can you receive this today? He would say, you are my delight. And again, it's one of those things where we say, God, you're my delight. And he says, no, you don't understand. You're my delight too, my sons and my daughters. Pastor Don always used to say this thing, and he would say it all the time. He would say, I'm one of God's favorites. And you'd hear him say that, and he would back it up and say, that's not an egotistical thing. That's not a thing where I'm puffed up, but I just know that I am one of God's favorites. And I'm telling you, that was one of his keys to success, that I believe that he woke up every day and he said, Father, I know you're one of my, I'm one of your favorites. I know I'm one of them. Whew. Whew. You are my delight, and the offering of your life has my full attention. Do you know that God is paying attention to your life? And he says, the way that you move me has my attention. When you open up the word of God in your home, you've got my attention. When you come and worship me, you've got my attention. When you reach out to the lost, you've got my attention. you've got my attention. Abundant life has God's attention. I've never overlooked one tear as you bowed low and surrendered your will to mine over and over and over again. I mean, there's an initial phase to this where we say, God, I receive you. Jesus, I receive you. But there's something even within me, and I know it's within you. We have to surrender every day. And he says, I see your surrender. I see you surrendering your will to mine over and over again. He says, I'm so pleased with the cry of your heart to be fully mine and to be consumed by my love. Consumed by my love. There's probably 250 pages in this devotional, and the odds that the word consumed is in there, and this message is called consumed. He said, I'm talking to you. I want you to take this word, and I want you to tell these people what I'm telling you. And to be consumed by his fiery love. If it wasn't enough, the next line says, so now I will consume you. Now I will consume you. I'm so pleased with the cry of your heart to be fully mine and to be consumed with my love. Now I will consume you. And this is a word for you today, that God is going to consume you. You say, consume me with what? His fiery love that breaks down every boundary, every stumbling block, and every mountain. It says, in his presence, every mountain melts like wax in his presence. Are you dealing with a mountain in here today? He says, my love, my fiery breakthrough will melt that mountain that's keeping you away from following me with your whole heart. Everybody breathing. My goodness, the fiery passion of my love for you will blaze upon your life in ways you've never known. I spoke a message last month called Bumper Crop. Start watching Facebook. There's people standing next to their corn, and when it's supposed to be knee-high by July, it's up to their chest. Because we knew that God in the natural was going to work something. There was going to be rain and heat and sun and rain and heat and sun. And the things he's doing naturally here in this area, he's doing spiritually also, if you'll receive it. A bumper crop over and above what you could ever ask or think. Man, oh man. Even now, he says, even now I'm working on your behalf. Even as you sit in these seats right now, I'm working on your behalf. I am planning, come on now, can you receive this now? I am planning beautiful surprises that will bring you to your knees in thanksgiving and in joy. I said this bumper crop that was gonna come, you were gonna be embarrassed and you were gonna blush at what God was gonna pour out into your lap. You're going to say, it's too much. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the kingdom of God that suffers no lack. It's over in abundance, more than you could ever ask or think. He's not a halfway God or a half cup filled God. He says, I'm going to take your cup and I'm going to pour into it and I'm going to overflow it to the effect that you're going to be so embarrassed by what I do in your life. Well, you say, why am I going to be embarrassed? Because you're going to sit back and you're going to say, I don't deserve it. And he's going to say, but because of my son and the blood that he shed, and because I look at you through bloodstained eyes, now you come into this place of reception where, yes, you do now. You do now. You didn't before. You didn't deserve it before. You didn't deserve it before. You belonged on the cross. But he said, I'm going up on the cross for you. And you're going to be co-crucified. And you're going to be co-resurrected. And you're going to be co. Seated in heavenly places. Co-buried. Oh, boy. See, we get in all kinds of trouble. The enemy absolutely hates and despises this message. Hates and despises it. And I always say, too bad. I can't wait for you to see what I have in store for you. I cannot resist those who so freely and unreservedly give themselves to me, trusting me even in the darkest valleys. I know some of you this past year have been in some dark valleys, but he says that I cannot resist those who so freely and unreservedly give themselves to me, trusting me even in the darkest valleys. The rich valleys, the dark valleys. Thank you for receiving my love. He says, I'm so happy that you're mine. And the scripture goes along, songs Song of Songs 3:4, it says, I found the one I adore. I caught him and fastened himself to me, refusing to be feeble in my heart again. Okay. What time is it? We're good. Consumed. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. There's nothing left over to burn. There's nothing left over to burn. We went to the prayer room this morning. I was a little late and I went in there and everybody surrounded me and I got in this chair. And the first thing that Sherry says is, thank you for this living sacrifice. Listen, if you will give yourself up to him, is what she says, it's your reasonable service. It's not even anything up and over above anything. He says, let's reason together because I died on the cross for you and I was resurrected and now I'm seated at the right hand of God and now you're seated with me. Isn't it reasonable that you give me every single area of your life? It's reasonable. Man, oh man. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. There's nothing left over to burn. And when they were dedicating these temples to God, there was times where God would come down as a fire and he would literally not only take the sacrifice, he would take the fat, he would lick up everything, he would lick up the water, he would lick up everything that was anywhere near his fiery love, his fiery breath. His fiery breath. Oh, I want to get under the glory spout where he pours his spirit out. Remember Pastor Don always used to say that. I want to get under the glory spout where he pours himself out. That glory spout. My goodness. So it's consumed. And this is what it says. We will be consumed by something. You got to hear this today. We can be consumed by anxiety or worry or depression or disease or our work or whatever hobbies we can let that all consume us. We are going to be consumed by something, but God's ultimate will is that we are absolutely consumed with him and his fiery love. That is the main purpose why you sit here today. And if you ever wonder, why am I here? It's for you to absorb and to move into and be consumed by the Father's fiery love. The Bible says he's an all-consuming, or some says devouring fire. His fire is a jealous fire, a zealous fire, and it's aimed at you. He's got his arrow back, and his jealous, fiery love is aimed at you. My goodness. What a life we live. What a privilege it is for us to sit here today. What an honor it is to hear the word of God and to be in this place. And for Pauline to be here, my goodness, I hope some of that resurrection power that was on her would rub off on some of us. The fact that she sat there and lost her breath and her heart stopped and God brought her back. And every doctor she ever said says, you're an absolute miracle, a sign and a wonder. Yeah, we were working on her. I was breathing into her mouth. I was. We touched lips that day. Unbelievable. You can't make that stuff up. Oh, boy. Hey, boy. Oh, boy. What in the world is happening? He will get the reward for his suffering, and his reward is you. My. We talk about this all the time. He will get the reward for every single drop of blood that he shed and everything that he suffered on that cross. And his reward is you. 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 I don't care how many people said you were unlovable and they didn't love you and you grew up in a bad place and you just didn't feel love and you felt rejected and all this stuff. The thing that you can think today and know today is the Father that actually gave birth to your spirit loves you. Your brain will fight it, and your mind will fight it, and your flesh will fight it, and the devil will fight it. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus died on the cross. He died for you. For you. For you. It's one thing to say, oh, well, he loves me a lot because he created me. Well, he loves you a lot, and he literally died an excruciating death for you to be loved. That's why he leaves the 99 to go get the one. He's after the one. And if you're in here today, which you are, and you're the one, maybe you're the one that he's chased down. Maybe you're the one that sits in the seat today and you had 100 other things to do and you sit here today and you say, I don't even know why I ended up here or how I ended up here. Maybe you're the one he's chased down. Maybe it's not all about you creating plans and thinking things through. Maybe he has your steps ordered. Maybe he has the menu and he says, Jimmy so-and-so is going to be an abundant life on so-and-so a day, and he's going to sit in row 4 and he's going to be listening to this word and he's going to come to Jesus. Maybe that's how it works. Maybe our God's much bigger than we thought he was. Oh boy. Oh boy. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. His desire is to fill us to overflowing and consume us with his love, for us to be hungry and to be thirsty after him. Oh my, the way he hungers and thirsts after you. See, some of us are going to be like, that's too much. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. What father or mother in here whose son or daughter rejects you would not go after them with a fiery vengeance to get that son or daughter back? Do you stop loving your children? Do you ever stop loving your children? But the enemy will whisper in your ear and he'll say, you are too far gone. God knows exactly what you did this morning. He knows exactly what you did on the way to church today. He knows exactly what you did last night and 2 weeks ago and 1 month ago. But I hear the blood of Jesus Christ and it screams. It doesn't scream justice. It screams forgiveness. This is the cry of the church and this is what's going to bring the world in. The love of God leads men into repentance. And there was going to be such a tsunami wave of the love of Jesus Christ and the love of the Father that's going to come on people. And they're going to realize that the reason that we're here and the reason why they were birthed was because Jesus said, the Father said, the Holy Spirit said, we want them here. Man, you, oh boy. Listen, it's too much, isn't it? His desire is to fill us to overflowing and consume us with his love. Psalms 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not just taste and see that the Lord is good. It's, oh, you taste a good banana split, you taste it and you go, nom, nom, nom. You taste a good fat, meaty ribeye steak and you go, nom, 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 nom. Well, God wants us the way, that same way with him, where we taste and see that this God is good. And once you get a taste, you will never, ever, ever go back. He says, those who hunger and thirst for me and eat of me and drink of me, they will never thirst again. Consumed, consumed, consumed. Man, the truth is, once you have tasted and seen that he is good, you're going to want more. My goodness, you're going to want more, and then you're going to want more. And then you're going to want more. And then you're going to want more. Matthew 6:33. And we're getting there. Matthew 6:33-34. This is what it says. And this is the Passion Translation. It says, so above all means above all, constantly seek or be consumed with God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these less important things that we think about will be given to us abundantly. This is what I'm talking about with the bumper crop that people go out and they search for all this stuff. But if you will search and seek the kingdom of God first, he's going to dump stuff on you. Dump it on you, dump it on you, dump it on you. And all it is for you to be a sign and a wonder and for you to open your mouth and for you to say, God did this. God did it. God did it. Oh boy. It says, refuse to worry about tomorrow. Refuse. Refuse to worry about it. Do you know you have it within you, a thing called self-control, that you can tell the enemy, sorry, enemy, but I refuse to stay in worry. I refuse to stay in depression. I refuse. I refuse it. This is what being consumed is all about. You literally are consumed in something that has happened in my life in the last 2 months where I am constantly saying, my Lord, your glory is dripping off of me. It's dripping off the walls. It's dripping off my family. It's dripping off abundant life. I'm so consumed with you. I see your glory everywhere. Speak it. You'd be amazed when you change what you talk about, how your life will change. And these are kingdom principles. I'm not talking about some kind of mental gymnastics that you do to tell yourself you're going to be okay all the time. I'm talking about taking the word of God and taking it as a sword, just like Jesus did in the desert and fought the enemy and said, it is written, my God says, do not worry. I don't care if you have to say it 100 times a day. Keep telling. My God says, do not worry. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. One day at a time. One day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. It'll take care of itself. In Acts 2, 25 through 28, this is what it says, and this is David speaking. It was crazy because David would write these psalms, and all of a sudden, the Messiah, these messianic prophecies, Jesus would start to speak through the pen of David. And when it'd be like, is this David or is this Jesus? They were pre-messianic scriptures. And this is what it says, and David is writing. This is the very thing David prophesied about. I continually see the Lord in front of me. Come on now, come on now. This is what it means by being consumed, that I continually see him every place that I go, every day. He's always in front of me. I'm looking at his face. I'm staying focused. I'm looking at him. And this prophetic word that came from Bishop Garlington to Jeff was, keep your eyes on Jesus. And what does that mean? It means this very thing that David prophesied, I continually see the Lord in front of me. He is at my right hand, and I am never shaken. Come on, I am never shaken. I don't care how much the world shakes or how much the system shake. I am never shaken because I see him in front of me. No wonder my heart is glad and my glory celebrates. My mouth is filled with his praises, and I have hope that my body will live because you will not leave my soul among the dead, nor will you allow your forsaken one to experience decay. Do you hear Jesus speaking through David? Unbelievable, but believable. For you have revealed to me the pathways to life, and see, oh boy, and seeing your face fills me with euphoria. Well, we don't want to preach some euphoric gospel. I'm sorry, but this scripture says when I see his face, I'm filled with euphoria, and I'm filled with joy, and I'm filled with contentment, and I'm filled with the satisfaction that I have a father who loves me. Core wail all the way through. No, there's not a cell in your body, trillions of cells, that God doesn't say, I love every one of those little things. See, this is a little bit too much, isn't it? My goodness, people left after Paul preached and they were like, hey guys, we can do whatever we want now. You telling me he didn't preach a grace message so fierce and so fiery and so deep that those people left and thought that they could do anything they want to do? And he'd have to write back to him and he said, listen, what I'm preaching is not a license for you to sin. It's actually a launching pad for you to move deeper into the glory of God. Isn't that unbelievable? They left and they were like, let's party. Hey, Jesus took care of everything. He took care of everything so that you can join his party. Oh, boy. They're fixing lunch in the cafeteria as I speak. So don't think that you have to get up and go somewhere. They're not done yet. The message will be done at the exact time that the food is served. I don't know what that means. Okay. For you have revealed to me the pathways to life, and seeing your face fills me with euphoria. Wait till you slip into heaven. Come on. Like, you slip into heaven? You think you're having a bad day? Oh my goodness. When you slip into heaven, are you going to wake up one morning and be like, oh, my joints are stiff? You'll never look in the mirror and go, my goodness, everything is dropping to the center of the earth. It'll never happen again. And you know why Jesus said, taste and see that the Lord is good? He said, I'm not waiting for you to get to heaven for you to taste and see that I'm good. I want you to taste and see it now so that people can have a revelation of what the incarnate Christ is and what it means to be in him. He's in you.
Jesus is in you and you're in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in you and you're in the Holy Spirit. You're in the Father and the Father is in you. Tell me, where in that place is there some sort of division? This revelation is coming with fierceness on the church, I'm telling you. And the churches across this nation and across this world are going to begin to march in the unity of the Father's love. And it's going to be to whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Okay. Seeing your face fills me with euphoria. We're going to do two portions of scripture here and then we're going to be done. And I'm telling you, well, the first time I watched The Chosen, every time I watched The Chosen, God was prophesying through The Chosen, and everything that was happening in The Chosen was happening to me that day. Well, don't you know, last night we watched the episode where Jesus is sitting down with all the women and with his mother, and he starts talking about the idea that Passover is upon them, and then he brings up the fact that when he was 12 years old, he wound up in front of those Jewish leaders during the Passover, and they ended up asking him questions. This is what we're watching last night, and this is exactly what is in these notes. God confirms his word. He prophesies. There's something called The Chosen. Imagine that. My goodness. We're working our way through this, and we're going to be done. This is what it says. Man, oh man. Every year, Jesus' parents went to worship at Jerusalem during the Passover festival, and we're singing these songs today about the blood on the mantle and the blood on the door and the blood on our heart, and we're singing all these songs, the Passover festival. When Jesus turned 12, he was in the sixth grade. Come on now, picture this. He's about in sixth grade. I don't know if you ever remember what it was like to be in sixth grade, but my brain was a million different directions. But when Jesus turned 12, his parents took him to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. 12-year-old Jesus is walking in to observe the Passover when he is actually the Passover. Come on. Now see, you have to get this stuff. You have to just hear the craziness of this whole thing, that he is actually going to observe the Passover as the Passover is walking at the age of 12. It was their custom. They did it every year. A full day after they began their journey home, Joseph and Mary realized that Jesus was missing. They lost the Son of God. That's a bad day for them. Come on now. I want to think about this, that they've traveled a whole day. And I want you to think about the idea of community that they had back in, because today we're putting leashes on our kids. They go anywhere in a group. Everybody's got to hold their hands. They went a whole day and they had no idea where Jesus was because the whole community took care of each other. Some of this stuff is foreign to us. Whole day goes by. They assumed he was somewhere in their entourage, but he was nowhere to be found. After a frantic search, and remember, Mary's got knowledge of who Jesus is. Like, you know, Mary's not just thinking, you know, this is a normal boy. She's in her head frantically searching in a panic, thinking, well, my goodness, what did we just do? After a frantic search among relatives and friends, Mary and Joseph returned to Jerusalem to search for him. And after being separated from him for, don't you love prophecy? It's already prophesying that Jesus is going to be in the ground for 3 days. It's already prophesying. He was missing for 3 days, but on the third day, come on now, don't miss this stuff. They finally found him in the temple, sitting among the Jewish leaders, listening to them. He's just chilling out, and he's just listening, and he starts to ask probing questions. Oh, come on, he's 12, and these Jewish leaders who everybody looks up to and is intimidated by and doesn't dare go near because they know everything, Jesus starts to ask them probing questions. He's got some questions for them. Can't make it up. All who heard Jesus speak were awestruck. Minds blown. Jesus is asking these questions, and they're like, oh my goodness, this kid is 12 years old. He shouldn't even be in here. And listen to what he's talking about. Listen. They were awestruck at his intelligent understanding of all that was being said. There wasn't anything being said where he was like, oh, I don't understand that. As they started going down these lines and paragraphs and talking, he was like, connecting all these dots. His intelligent understanding of all that was being discussed and at his wise answers to their questions. Listen, guys, there was a time where Jesus is up in that synagogue and listening to these Jewish teachers, and he's like, I'm done asking probing questions. He wants to ask me some questions. and they start asking him questions. These Jewish leaders that have been literally have the Torah memorized, who've been doing this since they're 5 years old, they start to ask Jesus, what do you mean? Tell us more about the Father. Like, what? Like, what, this is somewhere that we haven't been before. This is revelation that we haven't connected with yet. And they start asking Jesus all these questions. The script has flipped. His parents were shocked to find him there. Why? Because he wasn't supposed to be there. Jesus doesn't care about those things. Jesus will walk up in that synagogue at 12 years old, completely confident in who exactly he is. And they're going to start asking him questions because he has such an incredible, consuming power to understand the love of his Father that he is not intimidated to walk into a place with a bunch of grown adults. They're supposed to be the religious teachers of those days and just say, I understand everything y'all are talking about. Now it's time to ask me some questions. You say, well, that's kind of cocky. Well, you know, he knew exactly who he was, exactly who he was, and it allowed him to wash the disciples' feet. It allowed him to love the unlovable because he knew who he was. We're almost done. Mary scolds him, scolds the Son of God, saying, Son, your Father and I have searched for you everywhere. We have been worried sick over not finding you. Why would you do this to us? How many parents in here have said that a million times? Why did you do this to us? Jesus said to them, why would you need to search for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be here in my Father's house? Consumed with him. Absolutely consumed with him. And then Mary and Joseph didn't fully understand what Jesus meant. Jesus went back home with them to Nazareth and was obedient to them. Wow. Wow. His mother treasured Jesus' words deeply in her heart because she said, this son of mine who was prophesied to come, and I know who he is, and now he is consumed with his Father's business. My goodness. Listen, as a mom, she puts that on the back burner of her heart, and there's such a warmth and such a love that comes over her, and such a, oh, he's on his way. I guarantee you there's some times where Mary was like, I don't know about all this. I'm not sure about all this. But all of a sudden, Jesus is in his Father's house. He says, Mom, don't you know I have to be consumed with my Father? It's too much. We're almost done. She treasured Jesus' words deeply. The favor of man increased upon his life, for he was greatly loved by God. There's something with the connection of understanding that you're greatly loved by God, which releases favor. And then you find Jesus, and this is where we're ending. You find the Passover, who was literally sitting in front of the religious leaders, and now he's actually at the Passover for real. So the Passover is actually walking into the actual celebration of the Passover as a grown man now. He's no longer 12 years old. Now he's all grown up. And he has just turned water into wine. And he's walking into the Passover. He's walking into the Passover. After the wedding, Jesus and his mother and brothers and his disciples traveled to Capernaum and stayed there for a few days. When the time was close for the Jewish Passover to begin, Jesus walked to Jerusalem. As he went into the temple courtyard, he noticed it was filled with merchants selling oxen and lambs and doves for an exorbitant price, which means it was far above what they should have been charging, while others were overcharging as they exchanged currency behind their counters. So Jesus found some cords and he made them into a whip. He had was so consumed with protecting his Father's house that he premeditated the act of creating a whip. This is the side of Jesus that we don't like to watch, but there's a side of Jesus that is so all-consuming with God's plan that he will stand in front of religious leaders and he will say things that he's not supposed to say because he's consumed. Jesus finds some cords and made them into a whip. Then he drove out every one of them and their animals from the courtyard of their temple. He was kicking over their tables. And watch this episode of The Chosen. If you haven't watched it, you can watch it. It's good TV. And he kicked over their tables filled with money, scattering it everywhere. And he told the merchants, get these things out of here. Don't you dare commercialize my Father's house. That's when his disciples remember the scripture. I am consumed with a fiery passion to keep your house pure. Can you all stand? I am consumed with a fiery passion to keep your house pure. And that's the cry of our heart, is to be absolutely so consumed with him that we are protecting this house and this house, the purity of this house, all-consuming fire. the prayer people want to come up. And Lord, we seal this word in the hearts of your people today. The enemy would come and snatch a word. Not one single word would drop to the ground and stay there. Thank you for this celebration today with Pauline being here and the history of this church. That two people said yes to the call of God, and here we are today. And Lord, we thank you for your anointing and your power and your glory that's in this house even now. And even as we pray, as you raised up Pauline from the ground to walk again, Lord, that those in here today that have any type of ailment or disease or in that place that have a bad diagnosis, if you come up front and let some people lay hands on you and prophesy over you and pray over you in the name of Jesus. And we seal this word in the name of Jesus. Everybody says amen.